This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We are continuing our spotlight on major political parties in the run-up to the Malacca state elections with a look today at DAP. So despite having the most seats in Parliament, DAP continues to be the bogeyman for Malay-based political parties like UMNO, PAS and Bersatu. And while it remains a strong component of Pakatan Harapan, the party's large Chinese voter base and its lack of young and Malay leaders could be seen as a crutch for the coalition.
However, calls for reform within the party have been gaining traction since GE14, and most recently its Selangor Chapter Committee elections saw relatively young politicians being elected. Now, in the upcoming Malacca state elections, DAP will be fighting for 8 seats, and it's actually the least compared to allies PKR and Amana, with 2 new faces, the 25-year-old Muhammad Danish Zainuddin for the Pekalan Batu seat and 37-year-old Ling Chow Yen for the Bandar Hilir seat. But will we be seeing more younger faces from DAP moving forward? And how will the party seek to reform itself?
So for some thoughts on where DAP is headed, we have with us today Dr. Oh Ee San, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Ee San. Good as always to have you. Let's start with developments within Selangor. The Selangor DAP elections were portrayed by commentators as a fight between grassroots and party elites. Is this a reading of event that you agree with?
Well, I think, of course, it's tempting to paint this particular party election as a contest between the elites and the grassroots leaders, or some would say between the more English speaking versus the more Chinese speaking, and so on. But of course, as with any other party election, ultimately it's about different factions within certain parties fighting out with each other in their internal power struggles, right? And some of these factions, they might be ideologically bent. They might include elements of whether it's English or Chinese speaking, whether it's grassroots versus elites, and so on. But of course, if you look at those who won and lost, among those who lost, it's not only Ronnie Liu. It's also people who have been assistants to some of those who are considered elites in the parties, and so on. So ultimately, it's about, in this particular election, to which faction you are aligned to, whether this particular faction is favored by, well, number one, the members, but sometimes also the more senior party leaders. Yeah.
And is this elections reflective of DAP as a whole in terms of the conflict between, like you say, the different ideologies or the different factions within the party?
In a sense, because of course Selangor would have a larger DAP base, and I think DAP won large numbers of seats in Selangor, and thereby testifying to perhaps next to Penang, the largest group of DAP supporters. So what they would prefer would, of course, reflect on DAP nationally. So in that sense, a lot of people are using this party election as Selangor as a yardstick to see how the different factions within DAP would fare in future. Yeah.
Let's talk about succession planning now, because Anthony Lok is seen as a leader in the wings to take over from the mini Lim dynasty of Lim Kit Siang and Lim Guan Eng. So can the party shake away from being dissociated with both this Lim father-son duo?
Well, Kit Siang, of course, is a larger than life figure within DAP, and there's no denying about it. Mainly because for many years he championed the various ideologies and political goals of the party, right? So I think even if both himself and Guan Eng were to step down, they would, in a sense, still be considered some sort of spiritual leaders for the party. But I think now they have institutionalized some form of change in leadership, right? Like, for example, as Secretary General, you could not serve more than two or three terms. I think it's three terms. So I think Guan Ying's term, it's almost up. So, you know, there will be speculations as to how he would just retire or will become some sort of advisor to the party, just as his father did. Yeah.
And if we look more broadly at how DAP is seen by the Malaysian voter, what do you think is DAP's appeal? We have the common narrative that it's a Chinese party, but is this really the case, or can it move beyond this sort of cage?
Well, number one actually relates to your previous questions, namely, even though, as I said, the Lim father and son play a larger than life figure within the party, but of course, you see successive younger and, shall we say, equally capable leaders coming up along the rank and files. For example, they would become the members of parliament or state assembly person at a relatively young age, sometimes even during their 20s and so on, right? You don't see this in almost any other party in Malaysia. It's almost exclusively DAP, perhaps PKR a little bit, but certainly not many other parties. So this is one of the attractions. Number two, of course, as we urbanize more, there will be more voters who subscribe to DAP's Malaysia for Malaysians as a whole type of ideology. Yeah.
So let's zoom out to the Malacca elections. DAP is contesting under the Pakatan Harapan flag. They won 8 seats in GE14, the most in the coalition, contesting the same number of seats. Is DAP then getting the shorter end of the stick here, though?
Well, the important thing is whether they feel that or not, right? I don't think they have that kind of you know, unhappy sentiments. I think they have been realistic. So, I mean, having won 8 seats in Malacca, I think that would be almost the limit of their performance in Malacca, given the fact that whether we like it or not, most of their supports are derived from the non-Malay voters. And there are only so many seats where non-Malay voters play a significant role in Malacca. So if they could win back all these 8 seats, I think it would be quite a remarkable achievement. So they are not being overly ambitious and try to conquer more seats, but defer to their other component parties such as Amana and PKR, yeah.
But I'm also curious, right, because in this Malacca state elections, you could see some tension brewing between DAP and the other coalition partners, especially since, you know, the coalition decided to allow the nomination of two of these defectors. Do you see these internal disputes moving onto the national stage, especially as we head into GE15?
Not really at this point. I think the sort of tensions between, I think primarily PKR and DAP arose from the fact that PKR took in some defectors, right, from the other camps. Because, the DAP grassroots would feel very strongly against taking in defectors. It would affect DAP's getting votes on the grounds. That's why DAP is not quite happy about that. On the other hand, of course, PKR, I'm sure, must have made their political calculations. By taking in these defectors, I think PKR calculated that they are almost guaranteed to win those seats, to be contested by those defectors. So they have different political calculations. And I don't think at this point it would escalate to the national level, constituting a rift between the two Pakatan component parties.
Right. So if we fast forward to GE15, you see only 18 happening, greater urbanization. Do you think voters will resonate with the Malaysia concept, and then DAP has growth to become a much larger national player, or will it be relegated to the urban side?
Well, I think those who consider themselves Malaysians first, of course, resonate with that, right? But I think it would unfortunately be confined still mainly to the urban and suburban electorates. I think in this country, despite our level of social, political and social economic developments, there are still a huge majority of people who are perhaps slightly more conservative in their voting trends, and they would consider, for example, racial, religious issues to be more important when it comes to voting for a particular party.
Isan, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Oh Isan, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, giving us some insights into where he thinks DAP is headed, what the political future is for them. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.